Well, I do greet you again in Jesus' name this morning. Tremendous privilege to be gathered here with you again. I want to thank you, young people, those of you here that just want to thank you for your Godwardness, could I call it that? Your hunger for God, your desire to draw close to Him. It's been a privilege to be here in your midst. That's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing to be gathered in the name of Jesus. To be gathered in the name of Jesus. We heard this morning about the one to whom has been given all power. And we gather in His name. That's a tremendous privilege. Under the anointing of His Spirit, we will turn again to Matthew chapter 11. And I know these verses have been read already this morning. We will read them again. The message today is a continuation, perhaps from yesterday, slightly different direction, but a continuation. Trust that the Lord will bring forth the burden that has been on my heart here for this. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. We'll read verse 25 again. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man but the Father, but save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Verse 26, even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. The revelation of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ to us was designed that way by God. And it's good. It's good. And it's precious. And may you find it that way. I trust that you are finding it that way. I know that most of you are probably feeling like you're full. I trust you're also hungry. You know, we learn a lot of things at places like this. But I trust you're hungry to put to practice these things. I trust there's a burning desire in your heart because that's how we learn to know God. That's when we can come here, we can repent, we can come to God, we can experience the presence of God. But we learn to know God in daily life and as we walk with Him. So the title this morning, the title that I have here is a question, whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? Who are you seeking? And I'll clarify some of this as we go along. Along with that question is a question that's maybe not related to the burden and yet somewhat. But if I could ask this question, if you could just really, really honestly tell me, who are your heroes? Who are your heroes? Ultimately, that's who you're seeking. And I trust that at the end of this week that there's been a commitment and a burden in your heart that would be Jesus Christ. That would be Jesus Christ. That He would become your hero. However, I'll share some things here, some observations that I've made, some from experiences of my own. And we have a burden here for all of you, not just that you would make it, not just that you would, but that you would prosper. you would prosper and glorify God and learn and experience everything that God has for you. Do you believe that's possible? Amen. It's very possible. So yesterday I said that there are two things, I think, and there's more, I'm sure, but two things that I've noticed, and I shared one of them yesterday, that hinder in the pursuit of God. And the first one is very simple, and that is a lack of desire. Just simply, we have other heroes, and we're doing other things. And so the Lord Jesus isn't really elevated in our hearts. We know about Him. We desire to go to heaven when we die, and we like to have all of those things. But to really pursue Him and seek Him is not really a passion or desire. And I think that's probably the greatest hindrance. Things that distract us from it. It's probably the greatest hindrance. That's pretty elementary, and I suppose. But the second one I'd like to talk about today is also maybe very simple. But the second thing I'd like to talk about that keeps many people, I believe, from God, and this is a pretty broad term, and so it's in many different forms, but it's very simple. It's ignorance. It's ignorance. In the heathen lands, there are those who would seek after God and don't know how. The gospel has never been preached to them. They simply don't know how to seek God. And yet there's an inner desire to know that being out there somewhere. There's that desire. We could give a few Bible examples of that. One of those would be Cornelius, a devout man, a man who was serving God with all of his, with everything he had, with all the knowledge he had. He was serving the Lord. It would tell us that. He was tithing. It tells us the various things he was doing. A very sincere man serving God. But the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without a preacher? And the Lord sent a preacher to him. The Lord sent a preacher to him to preach the gospel to him. And so Peter was sent to him. There's another account in that along those lines of the Ethiopian who was reading the book of Isaiah and in his chariot riding along, reading the book of Isaiah, and he couldn't make sense of it. And so the Spirit of the Lord called Philip to meet him. It caught Philip up there to meet him, and Philip preached to him Jesus, and he believed, and his seeking was fulfilled. I'd like to give you those examples today that if you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. You will find Him. God answers that cry. I believe that. There were other men that we could use examples in the Bible. There was a man named Felix who sent for Paul, and he wanted to talk to this man, Paul, and he wanted to hear what he had to say, and Paul preached to him and explained the way of Christ to him, and he was, of course, almost persuaded. That's willful ignorance. That's willful ignorance. And so I would say that if anyone leaves this assembly this week and doesn't know more of God and hasn't drawn closer to God, I think we would have to call it willful ignorance. We would have to call it willful ignorance. There's a man named Herod who wanted to interact with Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Well, his desire was to see a miracle. That's what he wanted. And he wasn't given one. Pilate met with Jesus and desired of him truth. I give you all these examples today, and we're one of those. We're sincerely seeking Jesus, or we're just not. You know, there's just a half-heartedness about it. So am I seeking Jesus? Am I seeking Jesus? Whom seek ye this morning? The desire of the ages. The desire of the ages. The altogether lovely one, Jesus Christ. The one who has everything that you need. The one who has everything. That needs to encourage my heart this morning. I'd like to give you some other examples that maybe more directly convey the burden here that I have. And that's when I see, I know of people, I know sincere seekers. People who seemingly to me are very sincere, and somehow over the process of their seeking, they come across another Jesus. Another Jesus that they somehow lay hold of, and it takes them in directions that are, it's clearly another Jesus. The Bible talks about that in Galatians, another Jesus. There are some, I'll give you a few examples. There are some whose tradition has become their Jesus. I'm not anti-tradition. Traditions are good. I'm thankful for traditions that I was raised in that gave me many good things. But traditions, I have not seen that traditions can transform the inner man and make him like Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Another example I've seen. Let me give you another example. I know of people who will gather in assemblies like this, and they'll begin to play very loud music, very loud rhythmic music. And as they do that, the people began to feel an emotionalism, and the place begins to move with the pulsating of the music. And we won't go into what all happens there, but in those people's minds, they are meeting with Jesus. They are meeting with Jesus. It's another Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible never rolled on the floor that I read of. It was the people who had devils that rolled on the floor that were rolling on the floor. So there is another Jesus, and then so that's a little bit of the burden that I have. I'd like to give you one example from years back. There's a very sincere, very sincere young man. He was the kind of man that is very a young man. He was the kind of man that on Sunday afternoons after the message, he would want to meet with someone and he would spend time just weeping, trying to draw nigh to God and trying to find God and trying to really just seeking God, desiring to go deeper. And it seemed like, to me, it was so inspiring to me. He just seemed like he had this passion, this desire for Jesus. But somehow through the counsel that he was given, as people would endeavor to lead him to the simple truth of the Bible and lead him to Jesus, it seemed like it was never... He would never lay hold of it. He would never just simply receive it. And today he is just lost. He's just lost. There's something that I'd like, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but there's something about being a seeker that in a sense makes us vulnerable. Would you agree with that? It makes us vulnerable. It's a good thing. We ought to be seeking, but it does make us vulnerable. I remember so clearly when I first began to seek the Lord. There was kind of a group of us, and as we began to seek God, and there was this hunger there, it seemed that every false doctrine that I can think of came through the area. It's amazing. As I look back, it's amazing to me. And I had no idea what was going on. I mean, we would have this coming and we'd, what was this? Well, it looks like truth. It seems like truth. There's a lot of truth. And yet somehow the Lord in His mercy helped us through it. I don't take any credit for any of that. Somehow the Lord helped us through it. So as I think of our young people, and I think of maybe I share another account from my past. This is a short one, But we first began seeking the Lord, and I had this hunger for God. I had this hunger for the Word of God, and very little fellowship. And I, one day, one year, I'm not sure the exact year, but we got this. Somebody gave us a phone number, a conference line, and on this conference line was a youth Bible school, some states away, and I just remember it was the middle of the day. I'm not sure why I wasn't working, but I remember just being out on my front porch and walking back and forth on my front porch. And I was listening to this preaching, and my heart would just say, "Amen, amen." Oh, I just desired. There was something in me just longed to be there. I never had anything like that. And in my mind's eye, I was quite naive, but I was picturing 500 or 600 young people sitting there, all of them, as hungry as I was for that. That's what I was picturing. I just thought, surely. I mean, if they were in a place like that, where there is that kind of teaching, surely they are all just sitting there, I would want to be there. Well, I found out some years later that wasn't necessarily the case. I didn't know that. I just assumed that it was. I find out later that many of those young people sitting under that kind of teaching and truth had just completely lost their way. And so I have a burden for that today. Whom seek ye? Whom are you seeking? So I have a text here, John chapter 1, and I've been meditating some on this passage. I know this is very practical here, some of these thoughts. Very practical. I know this is a very familiar passage. Just a few thoughts I'd like for you to take with you as you go from here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And I'm sorry there, we're in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word. Maybe this is elementary. This morning, the Jesus that I trust you are seeking is this Jesus. Is this Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. You know, we love Jesus and we seek Jesus. We love Him as much as we love the Word. We love Him as much as we love the Word. The Word, we read here in this book, we read that the Word was in the beginning. In the beginning, it was the Word. We read this in Colossians, that all things were created by Him. And without Him was not anything, we read that here, not without Him was not anything made that was made. At the end of this book, we see Him returning, and His name is the Word of God. So as we seek Jesus, I'd like for you, maybe I would give an illustration that would help clarify what I'm the burden here. So here's an illustration. Maybe it would have been over that same period of time in my life. It would have been a little later, and we were ignorant. Could I just say that? We were those people who were ignorant, didn't know how to seek God. That's just who we were. And I remember once there was an evangelist that came through, and he was a very, very gifted man. And we had some meetings. He held some meetings, and he was a very gifted man. He was a very good speaker, and he loved the Lord. It seemed that he loved the Lord with this passion and zeal, and I remember it just broke my heart, you know, and I would go home. I went home. I remember specifically the one night going home and I couldn't sleep. And so I think it was a summer night, but I'm outside just for hours walking up and down my driveway, just crying out to God. Just God, I need something. I need you. I need something. And I'd look up at the stars and surely does God hear me? What will He do? I don't know what would happen to me, that night if suddenly the moon had started blinking? Or if the Big Dipper had suddenly started to rotate around the North Star? I don't know what would have happened with me. But there is this thing in Christianity today where we're seeking signs. And so we cry out to God and we have this hunger, we have this zeal, we desire Him, but we're seeking signs. God, won't you do something? And so I remember sometime in the early morning, I was desperate. I didn't know what to do, but I went into my study, and I just remember just opening the Bible. Now maybe that's pretty elementary, isn't it? Just opening the Bible. And began weeping as I read these words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So God taught me something. Seeking God, I'm all for taking a walk and praying and all of those things, but we seek God through His Word. Humbling myself before the Word of God, letting it speak into my life, allowing it to become my life. Seeking God through His Word. The Word has power. It's a living Word. It's not just a book. The Word has power. Empowered by the Spirit, it becomes a life-changing force when we humble ourselves before it and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us through His Word. The Word created us. The Word created us. That's why it fits us. That's why it fits us. I'd like to clarify a little something here. When we say the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, I don't believe that that's just talking about this book. I believe that's talking about the Logos, the entire will of God. The entire will of God. When we come to when we come to Jesus and take up His yoke, not just this book, but His will. His yoke is His will. Hopefully we can clarify that. We don't worship this book. Can I say that carefully? There are some who worship the book, and they say, well, it doesn't say in there that thou shalt not use heroin. We worship God, and we seek His will. There is plenty enough said here that we can discern the will of God through His Spirit, and that applies to many other things. You can't tell me that I can't wear such and such clothes. You can't tell me that. It's not written in this book. We worship God, and we seek His will, His entire will for our lives. You can't tell me, it's nowhere written in this book that thou shalt not baptize infants. Is that written in this book? Not specifically. But is it written in this book? Very clearly. Very clearly. Very clearly we can discern the will of God through what we have in this book if we're seeking. But we seek Him through His Word. We seek Him through His Word. I once stood outside of an ungodly venue, some ungodly place, and I held a sign in my hands that had a question on it, and the sign said, "Do you fear God?" That's not a popular sign to hold, but that's what someone handed me. I didn't choose it. But, "Do you fear God?" And I remember so clearly this lady walking past me, and she angrily snarled at me. She said, "I don't fear God, I love God." And I don't know that I said anything. I just was stunned. But I thought, you know, I believe she does love God. Her God. But it's the wrong God. It's the wrong God. Whom seek ye? I believe she loved the God that she was serving, I'm sure. The Word is eternal. The will of God for us will never change. The will of God for us doesn't change. It's eternal. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The will of God will never change. He that is of God heareth God's words. Is that what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. So some thoughts there on seeking God. I hear these kind of things. Well, I prayed about it, and I feel that this is God's will for me. Well, someone said I cleared that with God. He's okay with it. Now I know maybe that seems elementary to all of us, but those influences are very real. Those influences are very real. We seek Him through His Word. He's the Word. Seeking God through His Word. If you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. A good text that I've used many times at the old people's home is the old people, most of them will know the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And so it makes for a good short meditation to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus and then talk about this friend that we have. We have a world of people that's saying, Jesus is my friend. Oh, yeah, Jesus is my friend. Of course Jesus is my friend. But Jesus is a little bit different friend than many friends are. Many friends will pat you on the back and tell you what a fine fellow you are and let you just go on your way. But here is a friend. He says, I am your friend. Everything that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now that's a true friend. Everything that you need to know, I have made known unto you. I am your friend. And you are my friend if you do that. If you do that. You're my friend if you keep those words and you love those words and you seek after those words and you allow those words to change your life. You'll be my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. So I need to move on here, but I just love to talk a little bit about exercising a simple faith in the Word of God. It's a simple faith in the Word of God. When we step forward in simple obedience, He meets us there. He meets us there. And He gives us peace. And He lets us know that, amen, that's the right way. We live in a world of rationalizing. We live in a world of rationalizing, and rationalizing is normally done to protect myself from the Bible. To protect myself from the Word of God. That's why I do it. Well, I don't think it means that. I don't think that going into all the world really means that. Or take that in context. But in some way or another, we should all be involved in going into all the world. It's His command to the church, to all of us. Either we pray, or we send, or we go. But I've seen it many times. It leads to deception. It leads to lukewarmness and coldness when we begin to rationalize and protect myself from these good words from my friend. These good words from my friend. Now I'm protecting myself. And saying, maybe it's not that important. I've seen it many times. It leads to deception. So I encourage you with a simple faith. Simple faith. It's been talked about already this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. We have all these examples. All of those examples begin with a faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 is a very simple thing. It's a response to the will of God. That's what faith is in Hebrews chapter 11. Noah moved with fear. Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear. Abraham, when he was called, went out. So it's in a response. Faith is simply a response to the revelation of God. That's what faith is. I just encourage us with a simple faith. If I confess my sins, He will forgive them. Faith is a simple response to that. Faith is a response. Trusting that God knows what is best for me. So here's a key. Here's something I'd like to leave with you here. Something that has been a blessing to me. There are so many people that say, I just can't understand. I can't understand that if I do this, how will that work out with that? And I just can't understand. But there's a key in our text. Come, take up my yoke, and learn of me. Come, take up my yoke, and learn of me. When there's a commitment to take up his yoke, the understanding comes. The understanding comes. We see the same thing in Romans chapter 12. When we present our bodies a living sacrifice, the Bible says, then you will be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that happens first. God doesn't give you all the understanding, and so then you can make your sacrifice. It's called faith. It's called faith. We make the sacrifice. He gives understanding. He leads. Many people stop there. That's a roadblock to them. Well, I can't understand. I just don't understand. It won't work out. I don't understand. And they stop. Don't understand. Secondly, I'll read here. Second thing I'd like for us to consider. In John chapter 1, it says this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. As the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I spoke about this yesterday a little bit. I was thinking of this, I was meditating on this, and I was thinking how great is God's desire that we would know Him. How great is God's desire that we would know Him. Sending His Son into the world to die for our sins so that we can be guiltless. After all, who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. No one else can get there. He said He died so that we can be guiltless. God's longing to restore that relationship is so great. He put on flesh. He became one of us so that we can know Him. So that we can know Him. I think that's amazing. I think that's amazing. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I was struck recently with these verses. John chapter 14, verse 8. We'll start in verse 7. John chapter 14. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And so Philip asked this question. He said, Lord, show us the Father. I mean, that will do it. You just show us the Father and that will do it. That will suffice, Lord. If you would just show us the Father, that would be enough. Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Do you want to know God? Do you want to know God? Do you want to know the Father? He came to earth. He put on flesh. In His love for humanity. I'll read another scripture here. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand, the majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Beautiful passage here in Hebrews chapter 2. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? That he might be a faithful and merciful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Have you ever been tempted? Have you ever felt like giving up? And you know that Jesus came so that to show us how he overcame. To show us how he went through those things that he overcame. His love for humanity. So I'm going to move on here with just a few thoughts. As we look at Jesus, we look at he was the express image of God. He was the Word of God. He was the very will of God in flesh. The very will of God. Young men, what if you would study? What if you would just ponder and meditate and study on the zeal that he had for the house of God? Would it change your life? If you would just study, just let that imprint on your mind, the zeal that he had for the house of the Lord. What if you would ponder the intense love and passion that he had for all of humanity? That they would be saved, that they would be... Well, would that change your life? We heard yesterday about meditating on His gentleness, His kindness, His character of just being gentle. It was so beautiful. It just touched my heart yesterday, listening to those things. What about His long-suffering? That we ponder His long-suffering with His disciples and how that so many times they just didn't get it. They were again quarreling over who's going to be the greatest. And His long-suffering and His patience. What if we look at His submission to authority and how that He was submitted, completely submitted to His Father, under His Father's authority. Do you desire to know Him? Do you desire to know Him? We have to close this up quickly here. Do you desire to know Him? Moses had this passion. I spoke of this yesterday, but Moses had this passion. Lord, I want to see Your glory. I want to know what You really are like. I want to see it. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that if we with an open face behold the glory of the Lord, we will be changed into the same image by His Spirit. You know, if you ever wonder, You know, as Jesus, Moses cried out, "Show me your glory," and the Lord passed by him. Do you ever ponder these words after him? The Lord, merciful and gracious. The words are failing me here, but the rest of it, some of you can quote it. Long-suffering. Are you willing? Are you willing to invest some time into beholding the glory of the Lord and allowing that to change you? Are you willing to? Who are you seeking? Are you seeking Him? We need to wind this up here. Philippians chapter 3. We read here the passion of another man, a man who had seen the Lord. Here's another man. His name was Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This is the cry of his heart. He said, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Interesting. Interesting vision and passion here. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? It came from the vision that he had seen of the Lord. It came from his understanding of who this Jesus was. And he said, "That I may know Him. That I may know Him." He wanted three things. I want to know Him. And I want that power. I want that power. We heard earlier today about power. I want the power that made Him like that. I want that power. The power of His resurrection. So much so that I even desire that I could suffer with Him. Being made conformable unto His death. I want that. I want that. That convicts me today. To be like Him. Where did Paul get his energy? Where did Paul get his passion, his endurance, his strength, his never giving up, the power to do that? The power to just keep going when everyone else is against him. The power to be stoned and get back up. The power to endure beatings and being shipwrecked and all those things. Where did he get that? It's from beholding Jesus and desiring to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I missed a verse here, but there's a promise in John chapter 1. I'll read it. You don't need to turn to it. It's time to close here. But in John chapter 1, we read this verse. I'd like to leave you with this thought. He came into his own, and his own received him not. I have concluded that that's maybe one of the saddest verses in the Bible. That God in heaven, the Lord Jesus, God in heaven came to visit his people, and they didn't receive him. What about you today? Would you say the Lord Jesus has visited us here? Have you received him? Have you received him? But there's this promise. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Power to become the sons of God. We heard earlier this morning about power. So I won't reiterate all that. But I was thinking about power. You know, there's a lot of deception in our day about power. That if I can handle the snake and it doesn't bite me, then I've got the power. But I like to say it's a deception. It's not the power. The power to become like Him. The power to become a child. Except you be converted. Except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom. The power to become as a child and put your hand in the hand of God and commit your future, that courtship that you desire, that job that you think about, and all those things, to put those things in the hand of God. The power to become as a child, to simply humble yourself under the hand of God. To them gave you power to become sons of God. Think of this verse. A few years ago, I met a brother, and he, as I interacted with him and talked with him, he would quote this verse to me. He would quote this verse, and this verse has been precious to me ever since. He said it several times. It stood out to me. But he would say that, he would quote this verse. He'd say, you know, Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." And he'd say, well, I try to make my decisions like that. You know, if God is my Father and I'm His child, then I would endeavor to do this because that's what He said. And I would trust him with results. And it's so blessed me. It just blessed me. It is something that I've wrote it down, and it's be ye followers of God as dear children. As dear children. You know, we do pray, don't we? Our Father. Our Father. And we ask him for all these things that we then turn around and worry about. You know, our daily bread and so on. But we do ask him. We heard about this morning, and so I won't go into this, but in Matthew chapter 6, it tells us to love your enemies, to do good to them that hate you, to pray for them which despitefully use you. I'm getting this mixed up. But then it goes on to say that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, because He makes the sun to shine on the just and on the unjust and so forth. Power to become children. Power to be as He was. Power to love. Power to love. My brother. We heard about that this morning. The power to become great. Do you ever think about that? There's everyone what desires to be great. The Scripture tells us that he that is the greatest among you, let him be the servant. The power to become great. The power to become great. Here's just a short testimony here. We'd like to close. Short testimony. Be under authority. Many, many times the Lord just simply uses that through the Word of God to give direction. Now, you'll find this a little bit humorous, but as a young Christian, I would sometimes just agonize over this thing. You know, God, what do you want me to do? What's my role in the church, and what should I be doing? And you know, but when I got asked to do something that was more difficult, like sharing devotion, like preaching or something, I would say, well, I'll pray about it. I'll go seek the Lord. I'll pray about it. And one day, as I was praying about, Lord, what do you want me to do? What should I be doing in the church? What's my role in the church? What should I be doing? And I had this thought, you judge whether it was from the Lord or not, but I had this thought, well, do what you're asked to do. You can start there. Do what you're asked to do. When you're asked to do something, you simply trust that it was for me, if you conceivably can, and just do that. Well, I think that's a good advice. It can be a bit stretching. It can be a bit stretching. Lastly here, we would get this from the Apostle Paul's example by talking about power. The power to give up my liberties. The power to have enough love to give up my liberties for someone else. Those things that I think should be my right to have, no one really should be able to tell me I can't have it. It's not really a conscience that I feel like I have to have it to serve the Lord, but it's something I'd like to have. But it's offensive to someone else. Do I have the power to give it up? Do I have the power? Power to become the sons of God. So we'll close here with one verse. Whom seek ye? The Scripture tells us, Jesus said, that if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Thy whole body shall be full of light. Whom seek ye? So God bless you as you go from here.